Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
And so yesterday we started off in the book of James, and we were discussing this idea of trials and testing, and a lot of you guys were vulnerable enough to be bold enough to raise your hand and to talk about some of the things that you guys have been going through. I really, really hope that you guys are sharing that with each other, because if there's one thing that trials do for us, right, we talked about that there's this idea of completeness in this honing, this refining. So in our trials, like, anybody know, like, let's see, you guys understand, like, you guys know what rings, gold, all that stuff, right? So when I got married, I think I was telling one of your leaders earlier, I was talking about how when I first got married, before I could propose, what do you think I needed? I needed a ring, right? If I came to the proposal without a ring, what do you think my wife would have said? Maybe yes. I hope she would still say yes, but usually, traditionally, when you propose to somebody, you bring a ring. And diamonds, are they cheap? No, they are not cheap. So whenever anyone asks, hey, how much was that ring, I tend to tell them 6 months at Menards. Because I ended up spending 6 months outside of my regular job, saving up money for that ring. And when we think about just something as, it's just a piece of jewelry. Now this one on my finger, $25, Amazon, let's go, okay? So safe to say I spent all my money on that ring for my sweet, beautiful wife because she's worth it. But what I'm getting at here is, you know, with metals and with diamonds, they take it through this process called refining. And what refining is that when you originally get a piece of metal, a diamond, anything that you want to turn into something that's worth more, you have to take the impurities out of the metal. You have to take the impurities out of the diamond. So that's the dirt, that's the clay, that's anything that would devalue it. So again, I'm not getting my wife a dirty ring. I'm not, and you guys better not either. My boys, listen, don't get your wife a dirty ring. But that refining is in similarity to what we're doing here, okay? Through those trials, through the chipping, through the axing, through the moving and meshing of the old dirt, you guys are becoming more complete, more perfect in the eyes of God. And so each and every day that we're here, we're chipping away at our old self so that we can look more like Jesus. There's a refining process. And then the other thing we talked about yesterday was the fact that through our trials, we see proof. Right? Remember I was talking about all those different product testers? Have any of you guys Googled any of those yet? You guys going to apply for any of those here soon? So look, just like anything else, in order to show that we are part of the body of Christ, we need to show our proof not just in how we speak, but in also how we act and how we behave. So in similarity to what Eric had on the back here in his video on just being respectful to each other, loving each other, because it's through those things, most often than not, that other people will either see Jesus in you or they will see the world. There was a saying that I tend to stick with is where it's, you know, 1% will read the Bible and then the other 99% will read the Christian. So what that means, guys, is as much as we are spending time here in Scripture, which we need to, how we behave, how we act, how we position ourselves in the world will display whether or not we're showing Jesus and giving others the opportunity to see him as well. Each one of you are links to that process. And so today, guys, we're going to be turning into, we're going to be going back into James. So if you guys can turn into your Bibles to James, we're going to be still in chapter 1. Does everybody have a Bible? I did bring my extra Bible in case no one has one. Okay, good guys. And today we're going to be moving forward and talking about more of that idea of the trials and temptations, but also this idea of what true riches look like in the kingdom of God. So if you guys are turning in there, we're going to be in James chapter 1, and we're going to be starting with verse 9. And one thing that I always love to do, guys, as I mentioned yesterday, we have the three A's, right? We have our attitude, we have our attention, and then being willing to adjust. So keep those things in mind as you continue to read scripture, dive into your devotionals, have a posture to receive what is about to be read. So before we hop into that, we're going to refocus in prayer. If you just please bow your head. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, Lord. And I just want to pray again just for another opportunity for these youth to receive you, receive your word. And I just ask, Lord, that whatever season that they're currently in, let this touch them in one way or the other, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So we're going to be picking up where we left off in the book of James. I'm going to read through verses 9 through 18, and then we're going to go back in and break some of the big themes down in the scripture, okay? So it says, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So there's a lot to unpack in there. We're gonna look at those first couple verses. And, you know, how many of you guys like stuff? Like, I would love to hear, just shout out some things. What right now in your guys' season of life, what products, what's trending in your guys' demographic, just so I know for prizes in the future? Koalas? Owalas, okay. Okay. What else? All right, I'm going to call on one right here. What's trending right now? What do you like? Video games, okay. What do you like? You like baseball? What do you like? Soccer. You like soccer? Okay. What about stuff? What are some things like next Christmas is coming up? What's something that you want to buy? Your birthday? What do you want? Yeah. A PS5. Okay. Yeah. AirPods. Okay. Right on. Yeah. Right there in the back. Jordan. You want some Jordans? Okay. All right. It's cool that Jordans are still in style. Do you guys? All right. Thank you guys. Put your hands down. Do you guys still like try to prevent them from creasing? Some of y'all do. So y'all be walking like a penguin all day. Is that what y'all be doing? Okay, right on. So Jordans, PS5, video games, you love to go sports. So we got a lot of people in sports that like to travel a lot. Okay, all right, awesome. So like what you're telling me here, again, these are not needs per se, am I right? As much as we want to say that they're needs, they're not really necessary for us to move forward in life. The things that we need is shelter, we need food, we need water, we need good companionship. Those are the things that we need. A lot of things that we want tend to reach the confines of our class or our status, and if we have money, right? So we see in this first verse, James is encouraging both those who are poor as well as those who are rich. But the thing about this is okay, whether you're poor or whether you're rich, the trials that we persevere through unite us as individuals. So at the end of the day, whether you have extreme wealth or whether you are lowly and maybe your family doesn't make a whole lot of money, the result of this life is that eternal crown, which James is talking about in here. So he says, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. And now when you read that, you think, okay, so humble, poor, so like, I just want to be very vulnerable with you guys. So I grew up very poor, all right? There was, you know, food stamps, EBT, all that stuff, all right? And when I was younger, I began to develop this mindset that I will never be poor again, that I will have so much money that I'll be like one of my dreams when I was younger, this is like when I was like 6 or 7, was to be able to go and order McDonald's every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner because my mom said that we could only get it like once a month because it was super expensive. I'm like, well, I'm going to eat a Big Mac every single day of my life as I get older. Plot twist and spoiler, I don't eat Big Macs every day, all right? That would not be healthy. I don't recommend it. But I had this mindset that, you know, I'm going to make a lot of money because I see my friends. I had a friend specifically who, when you go over to his house, he had the dopest snacks. So like, is anybody out there like the snack kings and snack queens out there? Like your parents just like supply you with like the best snacks. Like people are coming over. You're like, I am known for my friends coming over and eating all my snacks because I have the best snacks. So that was one of my buddies. And I equated this idea of name brand snacks to wealth, like to true wealth. Like, man, you know, I'm not eating snacks like that. I don't have snacks like that. I don't have Oreos or, you know, pudding cups or like specifically I was really impressed with like the little ice cream cups. Like he had like just a bunch of them and like we had like just like a big fat tub that you get and you just kind of just eat out of it. So like these were things that I started to harbor as I was younger. And so as I got older, I began to develop this mindset of like, you know what? I am going to make a lot of money. I'm gonna become really, really wealthy. That's how the tides are gonna turn for me. All right. That's how I'm gonna know that God is in favor of me if I am wealthy. And we see in here though, that James is telling us that the believers in humble circumstances. So if you are in a circumstance, maybe like the one that I just mentioned, where like, you know, maybe it was hard for your family to even get you to camp, all right? James has some encouraging words that I want you to really, really posture your ears to in order to really understand what he's saying. So he says, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. Well, what is our high position? Our high position is the fact, and we talked about it yesterday, that whatever trial you are going through, even financially, again, do you guys, like, let's just be honest. Right now in the season that you're in, you don't have a whole lot of control over the financial situation of your household. And that can be a tough pill to swallow. You don't have that control, okay? But what I want to encourage each and every one of you here is, just as I mentioned yesterday, where the trials come and go, this one will end as well. I'm not going to promise you that's going to end this week, this year, when you turn my age. I can't promise you that. What I can promise you is that when we move from this life to the next, we each have the opportunity to inherit the riches that God has promised for us, not the world. The world will promise you validation. It will promise you clothes. It will promise you get the PS5. You're gonna be one of the coolest kids in school. You get the new Air Jordans. They're gonna cost your parents the electric bill. I was like, then everyone's gonna love you. That's not how it works. The world wants to disguise that when really it's temporary validation that begins to wither away. It doesn't last. But the promise that God is providing within that high position for those who maybe are in a financial situation like that, it will come later on if we have confidence and persevere in the now. Now, what does it say, though, about the families who maybe are well off, all right? It says right here, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. And so when you hear the word humiliation, it's like, okay, James, what are you talking about, man? Like, I'm supposed to, like, you know, just be humiliated, embarrass myself just because I was given a better hand? That's not what he's talking about here, okay? What he's talking about in this situation, okay, the humiliation is more so, it's, again, a lot of y'all raised your hands on the trials and the hardships that you have faced this year. Trials are not, they don't favorite the poor. It's not, they don't favorite the individuals who have always had a hard life. Those who are who have money, who are doing well, those individuals, they experience trials of many kinds also. They may look a little different, but they experience them, okay? And so what he's saying here is for those who do have more, maybe you've been blessed. Maybe your family has a great job. Maybe your family has both parents in their lives, okay? Those are blessings, and I want you to give it to God. I want you to really appreciate that. But what he's saying in this passage is that in order for us not to be blinded by all the things that the world wants to offer us, we need to acknowledge that when we are in hard times, we need to go to God for it. So that's the tricky part with those who have much. It's very easy for us to lose sight of God. How often, I don't know about you guys, but when I was your age, and even now, I still struggle with it now, when things are going really, really well for me, sometimes I forget to thank God. And it takes a kick in the butt in life for me to go back to him. So I want to encourage you guys who maybe this is a great season for you. Don't forget to take God with you, all right? Because when those trials come, because they will, James is instructing us, hey, let's pay attention to these things that we're going through. Let's see how we can grow from them. Let's acknowledge them for what they are, and let's be united in overcoming them so that we can be more complete, so that he can continue to chip away at the things that we still are struggling with in our own lives. And here's the thing, like, as I got older, and I'll just to give you a quick story, I did go the route to pursue money. So I talked about how I preached, delivered my first sermon when I was 16, and my pastor said, hey, you're called to be a pastor. You're called to, shepherd and disciple. And I'm like, but that's not bringing in the money though. I think I need my validation in finance first and be rich there. So then I can pour out and be and help others become wealthy in their faith. I was like, God, if you just do this one thing for me, then I will then follow you to the rest of my life. How many of you guys have ever like made a wager with God? Be like, if you just do this one thing, I'll then do whatever you want. Okay, it doesn't work like that, right? So I was given a decision through a lot of crazy awesome things that happened. Praise God. That made me make a decision on, do I want to obey the world or do I want to lean in and obey what God has called me to do? And so, long story short, I leaned more towards obeying what God has for me, because here's the thing, guys. As it mentions in here, anything that you have on this life will be gone. It won't last. You cannot take it with you when you die. And the one way that God likes to remind us of how finite or how much of a limit this life is through hardships. It's through losing loved ones. It's through losing relationships and not even people dying, but just people just not wanting to be with you anymore. These things, while they are tough in the season, they're refining you and helping you remember, hey, I need to go back to God. I need to go to him. And so that was the decision that I had to make, was understanding that rich or poor, it doesn't matter, because we all end up in the same place. But my question for you guys is okay, one day we are not going to be here. In 100 years from now, none of us are going to be here. And I want to encourage you and challenge you, the decisions that I'm making right now, am I moving towards obedience with what God has placed on my life? Or have I fallen into this idea that I need the things of this world in order to feel satisfied? How many of you guys ever got headaches? You guys get headaches? Okay, yeah. I think everyone gets headaches, right? So a lot of the times, what do you usually take for a headache? What do you usually take for pain? Ibuprofen, Tylenol, Advil. Yeah, all those things, right? All those things, right? So Those medications are great, right? But let's say, what if it's a migraine? And so, like, do you just take ibuprofen once? No, you have to end up taking it over and over and over again, right? So instead of actually curing the cause, you're just putting a temporary solution on a eternal problem if it's not fixed at the source. So in the same way, in this season, it's going to be PS5, it's going to be Xbox, it's going to be your games, it's going to be those Jordans, those clothes, those trips. I need to be on the Travel League teams. If my mom can't afford that, then I'm a lame. Like, all that, that's what it is now. As you get older, it might be, I need validation from my boyfriend. I need validation from my girlfriend. I can't get it anywhere at home. I need to pursue X, Y. You fill in the blank. But every year that you move in your season, there's always going to be another thing in this life that is going to be disguised as riches that are going to fulfill you, when really they're just temporary fixes to a bigger problem. So I just want to encourage you guys within that, that the completeness of God is not the absence of any of these things, but it's the acknowledgement that he's going to be with you through it all. And so it goes on to say, And I love this. He goes from talking about the rich and the poor and how we're called to respond, and then he's like, oh, by the way, don't forget, those trials are a good thing. And so he says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So he goes from talking about how we are to combat these thoughts in our head, whether you're wealthy and you're like, oh, I love all these things, or maybe you're poor and you want these things. Like, hey, instead of focusing on these things, why don't we redirect our gaze on how God is moving in our lives? Because at the end of this life, we're all going to receive the same gift, which is eternal life. It's the thing that Jesus came and died for each one of us, to give us that opportunity to have a relationship with him. And he goes on to say, you know, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. And so how many times have you guys been? Here's the thing. I think people tend to confuse trials versus temptations. Has there ever been a time in your guys' life, and I don't need your hands on this one, but I know that there's been times in my life where I have deliberately done something that I know was not right, that I know it wasn't following in God's path, but then instead of saying that it was me, I was to blame, I then end up saying, oh, well, no, that was just a trial, or that was an issue that was outside of my control. I don't need hands on this one, but I know that some of you guys out there, you know, might be in the same boat as me, all right? And so I want to help break this cycle of confusing what temptation and trials are. They're not the same thing. So what I have here, guys, is, you know, trials are external situations that are outside of our control. They are external situations that are outside of our control. So that car wreck, that tornado, that tree that just came down, right? I was talking to Eric this morning about how we are, that there are so many things in this life that we are in no control of. We have no control over any of that. Right? So those are our trials. Those are our trials. Recently, I'll give you a fun trial for myself. I guess it was partially my fault. I took blame for part of it. I was on my way to church, and I live about 30 minutes away from our church. And so, of course, I had awful time management and was out the door 5 minutes later than what I wanted. How many of you guys are kind of like me, where you're like, oh, you look at the clock like 30 minutes ago, and you're like, oh, I have so much time. And then you either are like doom scrolling, or like you're just poking around, or you're just watching TV, and you're like, holy crap, I gotta be here at like in 5 minutes. That's me. And so I start driving. I'm driving a little fast on these country roads, and as I'm driving, it was a morning where it was pretty foggy. I didn't brush off my part of my windshield, and so I couldn't see on one side, but I saw a trash can was coming up on my right side. I'm like, oh, I think I have enough room. I can just kind of pass it. And as I'm about to try to swerve past it, all I hear is a, and I look to my right, and I see it just took off like all like the side mirror, all that stuff. Ended up costing me a lot of money, and as it happens, I see it happen, and I don't, you know, none of you guys are driving right now, but like, you know, a lot of the times I just don't I just listen to music. And so I'm just sitting there, you know, and I turn to it, I look over, and then I just turn on Firm Foundation and just, you know, pedal my way all the way to church. I'm like, there's nothing I could do about it in that situation. But that's a trial. That's a true trial, and it hurt. It did not feel good, especially in a moment where me and my wife just had our first daughter. Finances were tight. Like, I needed all the money I could get. But the cool thing about it is in those seasons, in those trials, God is not asking you to react based off of human emotion. What he's calling you up to do is to respond in his presence. So that's that third part within that. You know, I talked about how our trials, they refine us, they make us complete, right? They show proof, and they remind us to go back to him. They remind us to go back to him. Now, temptation is an internal decision to go against the design of God. Temptation is the internal decision. That means you. There's no one else involved. It is you, okay? It is you. And then I just kind of got an example up here. One of my leaders brought me some Gatorade, which was nice. But I appreciate you, Ronnie. I started drinking one of them. But I want to just kind of give you an example. So here we got two Gatorades, right? We got one that is a berry, and then we got one that's strawberry. I don't know, do any of you guys drink Gatorade, or are you guys all on Prime now? Okay, y'all on Prime. All right, Prime is mid. All right, I got you. Thank y'all. Okay. Shout out, Logan Paul. Appreciate you, bud. Safe to say, do any of you guys like these flavors, about these two flavors, like strawberry and berry? Okay, all right, these are like probably my least favorite, all right? So thank you, Ronnie, I appreciate you. But what I'm getting at here, okay, so we have two of the same product, okay? We have two of the same brand, but we have a berry, we have a strawberry. Some of them are, you know, purple. One of my favorites is the Fierce Frost. That's one of my favorites. So what I'm getting at here is, okay, that's kind of like temptation, okay? While each of us has a temptation, that doesn't mean it's the same one that we're running through. Maybe some of you have a hard time telling the truth. Maybe some of you look at things that you shouldn't be looking at. Maybe some of you have, you know, a foul mouth. Maybe some of you like to gossip, okay? These are different temptations that come internally and are specific to us. So you fill in the blank on whatever that is. That's what we're talking about here. And so the next time let's say you are gossiping, what James is saying is you cannot put the blame on God. You cannot put the blame on God, saying, "Oh my gosh, God is sending me through another trial." No, you just don't know how to keep your mouth shut. Okay? So I want to encourage you guys to understand that while trials have the potential to unite us all, okay? They have the potential, like that is the beautiful thing about trials and how God works in that, is it has the opportunity to bring us all together. Temptation has the power to divide, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. So that's why when God says confess, he's not simply saying that because he wants to hear you say it and be like, "I told you so." No, he loves you so much that he knows that when you confess and when you share in your temptation with somebody else, they are able to empathize with you, and they're able to help you overcome that, so that when you win the internal battle, those external trials don't become an issue anymore. You have what we saw in verse 2 and 3. You have this joy to respond in the midst of them both. You can fight them both off. And I have a verse for you guys. You know, I have a quote from a minister, P.T. Forsyth, where he says, "You must live with people to know their problems." And I think that's a really, really true statement. The more that you guys are together with each other, the more that you understand each other's issues, the easier it is for you to empathize, for you to offer validation, for you to love on each other. Like, that's a really, really cool thing that we have the opportunity to do. But here's the thing. We can't live there. It's one thing to talk about our problems. It's another thing to hold each other up to a higher standard to see, okay, hey, I know that you have a really hard time gossiping, so anytime that I hear any idea or any talk of you potentially talking bad about somebody else in a very gossipy way, I was like, I think we should just stop talking about it and we should just change the subject. Or, hey, you know, I know that in the past, you had to steal for things because, you know, your family was poor and now it's just become a habit. I was like, hey, why don't I come with you and let's set a budget so that when we go in and buy stuff, you just buy exactly what you need and I can stop you from doing that. Or, hey, you know what? I know that you've been listening to that kind of music. I know that you've been watching these kind of movies or these kind of videos. And hey, can I just encourage you? That's not a temptation that I struggle with, but I want to be someone who can be there for you to make sure that you're keeping yourself accountable. That's how we work together on this. And but the second part of that quote, you know, the first part is you must live with people to know their problems, and you must live with God in order to solve the solution. So this isn't about to become a situation where now a friend who doesn't struggle with it, they become the fixer. No, they have to do it in a way that brings it back to Jesus. And then as we move forward, so like this idea of like God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And that death is the separation of your relationship with Jesus. So kind of like how, you know, who likes to fish in here? Okay, so you guys know how to do, you know, I throw the rod in, and, you know, I kind of shake it a little bit, you know, with my rubber bait, and the fish comes out of its safe environment, you know, where it was at, mind its own business, sees this delectable treat right here, bites on, and then what happens? They get hooked and I catch it, right? So in the same way, when we are comparing ourselves, when we're thinking that our lives aren't as wealthy, aren't as fulfilling, aren't as rich, that then leads us into falling into those temptations to fulfill some sort of validation or pleasure within ourselves, taking us out of that comfort zone that is within God, hooking us and moving us towards separation, which is that death that they're talking about. But the great part about this is, and as we conclude in this portion, is, you know, James calls us to get rid of that the world has planted, and that the best part about all these things is that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heaven. So even within all of this nonsense, God gives you an opportunity to find your way out of this through friends, through therapy, through great leaders, through things like this. And so my encouragement, and this is going to be a question that I'm going to be asking you guys throughout the entire week, is what areas of your life have you been negotiating? Like, yes, trials are tough, but as I mentioned in this, trials give us the opportunity to be united as one, while temptations do the exact opposite. So my first question is, what are you doing in your life? What are things that are taking place that you are negotiating with? And what are those areas that you've realized, man, you know what, I need to obey? What are those distractions that are keeping you from seeing the true wealth that God has waiting for you? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. And Lord, there's a lot of things in the world that appeal to us. Whether it's games, whether it's friends, whether it's money, class, the best snacks in the world. Lord, I just want to ask that while those things are great, they pale in comparison to the riches and to the joy and to the gift that you have waiting for us on the other side of this life. So for those who see the material possessions, let them see them for what they are, as tools, as gifts, as things that they can appreciate. But let them not be blinded by the fact that you are the giver of great gifts, greater than beyond anything that the world can offer. Have your way in their devotional time and the conversations they're going to have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.